Well, give the Lord praise. Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. We have begun a series entitled Breaking the Chains That Bind. I've had several people say to me, well, I was a little surprised at Pastor Kilpatrick's meeting. I was too. I was expecting a little bit different, but you know what? Holy Spirit is in control. I was expecting one of them knock-down, drag-out services where the bodies are laying around the altar stacked like cordwood and all that stuff. I was expecting that. But you know, we don't have just to have that happen when somebody, some figure comes to town. You know, God's met us here powerfully in our services here in recent weeks. And so he said to me as we were talking, I thought, God, you're such an amazing God. He said, Pastor, he said, let me just tell you something. He said, when I came into this city, he got here late Saturday night about midnight. He said, I felt that this area is postured for revival. I don't know nothing about this area. Can you tell me a little about it? And I told him, you know, that we're number one in all the things you don't want to be number one in. We're number one in STDs, sexually transmitted diseases. We're number one in infant death, infant crib death syndrome. We're number one in that. We're number one in HIV AIDS in northeastern North Carolina. We're number one in that. We're number one in teenage pregnancies. Amen? Because you see, I'm gonna preach next week. Here's a preview. I'm going to preach next week on the spirit of poverty. Because this area has lived on the crutches of the government for so long. You're just crutched into government. And the way to have more sometimes is to have more kids and to not protect yourself from pregnancy and just get more from the government, because you build a system whereby you're comfortable with someone else taking care of you. Come on now. Some people are not going to like this, but you know what? I'm not preaching people's likes. I'm not here to preach people's likes. Okay? I'm here to preach the divine word of God, and the word of God declares that sometimes if you're not careful, there is a spirit of poverty that can grip you, and you will become dependent. Somebody say dependent. You will become dependent on a system that is a false sense of hope. It's kind of like living in a church parsonage. Oh, wow. I can't believe he said that. Well, that's the truth. If you live in the church parsonage, as long as everything's fine, it's your home to use. But there comes a place when you got to get out because you got gray hair. Well, you got gray hair. I've been out of the parsonage 10 years, thank the Lord. But see, it's a false sense of hope. Because that's our house. No, it's not your house. It never will be your house. It's your house until they don't want you anymore. Then you got to get out, because now this house is someone else's house. So the house never becomes yours. So transfer that thought to the thing that I'm talking about. The spirit of poverty gets you depending upon something that will put a little jingle in your pocket, a little help with the food, a little energy help when the time comes. It's too cold. We need the government to help us get through the winter. It's too hot. We need the government to help us get through the summer. The spirit of poverty rests and roams about northeastern North Carolina. And we're going to lay our finger on that stronghold. And we're going to preach against that. That's just a preview. Today we talk about the spirit of jealousy. And you know, Pastor Kilpatrick said to me, he said, you know what? He said in my office, he said, Pastor Wallace, I don't know you. But he said, the spirit of God is a dove. Now, some of you will understand this, why the service may not have ended up like it did when I say this. He said, the spirit of God is a dove. Is that right? I said, yeah. He said, the dove is flying over northeastern North Carolina. The dove is lowering down and getting ready. The dove is getting ready to land. And he said, if there is confusion in the church, not the world, the world's filled with it, but if the dove flies over the church and there's curses rather than blessings. Now are you understanding? If there's curses that are there rather than blessing, then the dove has the right to just flutter and fly on somewhere else. Because the Holy Spirit is a gentleman and he's not going to force revival on anybody. Come on. He's not going to force his spirit on anyone. You that are sitting here today, I'm going to preach on jealousy today, and there's jealous people in this room. There's people that are Christians that jealousy has put you where you are right now. And listen, you've got a chance today to cast that spirit of jealousy out of your life as a believer so that you can live free. See? And so you're going to face pride at the end of this service because I'm going to preach on jealousy. I'm going to go ahead and give you the end of the story. I'm going to preach on jealousy. And then you're going to be coming to the place in the service where you know how it goes. The musician goes to the keyboard. The praise team comes and joins us. The atmosphere shifts and it's time to come to the altar. And some of you will be faced today, do I go or do I not go? Because I do have a spirit of jealousy. I do deal with some issues of jealousy. So I'm just giving you a forewarning today. Listen, pride has to go in the name of Jesus. Because if we truly do want a genuine sovereign move of the Holy Spirit upon this region, then guess what? Judgment begins where? In the house of God. We've got to get the church cleaned up first before we'll ever see the Spirit of God move in a community like He wants to move. The church has to be cleaned up. What's revival anyway? Reviving those things that are dead. It's breathing life into something that has lost its life. And listen, the world don't need revival. The world needs redemption. The church needs revival. And if you think for one instant that they're just going to come running and flocking in this place because they just can't help themselves, that's not going to happen. You got to get so on fire and so in touch with the things of God that you can't even go to Walmart without preaching the gospel. You can't even pick up your eggs and your milk without talking to somebody about Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. You got to get so saturated with the Spirit and the presence of God that you can't help but when your eyes awake in the morning, you say, "Here am I, Lord, send me." Come on, somebody. Y'all got to help me here. This thing is shut up in my bones. God wants to do something powerful in this region. He really does. But I love what Pastor Kilpatrick said. Before the Lord can do it, you got to make sure the curses are gone and you got to make sure there's purity in the house. Did you hear him say that he spent years praying for revival? Breaking the chains that bind the spirit of jealousy. I'm going to use a series of questions that, quite frankly, I just asked myself in the Holy Ghost. I just said, "Lord, help me here. Help me to address this. I already know several spirits, several chains that I'm going to address. We've already done isolation. Remember that one? We're going to do poverty. We're going to do jealousy. I don't even know if this thing will end in March. I have no idea. Breaking the chains that bind. What is jealousy? That's the first question I asked myself as I was preparing for this. I said, "God, what is jealousy? What really is jealousy?" And jealousy is defined in a biblical sense and even in the natural. It is resentment against a rival or a person. A rival is someone who is maybe on the competitive edge with you. For me, it would be another pastor. Another pastor in this community, another pastor in this church. Am I jealous of other men and what God does with them? And I'm jealous of other women and what God does with them when they lay their hands on somebody. You follow what I'm saying? So for me, it would be another preacher, another pastor that I would consistently compare myself to see if I'm doing a better job than he's doing. See? I need to give it to you so you can understand it. Now you put the context in your life. Oh, it might just be at home. How many of y'all got siblings? Sister, come on. Got a sister, got a brother. It would be that rivalry that exists. We call it sibling rivalry. We joke about it, we talk about it, but here's the reality. You came up in a home just like I did. If there were more than one of you, you had a brother or a sister. Some of you had two. Some of you were blessed like the Waltons and had a dozen, you know. Like Joy's mother, one of 17 kids. That's a lot of family. There sometimes can exist rivalry, resentment against a person who's in the same family. But you look at it in terms of either how successful they have been or how they were treated in a way that you were, you were not. Somebody going to help me here? Somebody who was treated differently than you were. See? And I'll guarantee you, you can be the best, most spirit-filled, God-loving parents in the world. You raise your children differently. Why? Because the kid is different. You know, this is not cookie-cutter humanity here. You don't spit one out and they're just, it's my goodness, they look the same, they act the same. No, we call that twins, and guess what? They're even different. Okay? So rivalry here, this understanding of resentment against a person who has been more successful or was given more or was blessed more or seemingly got more attention, love, affirmation, jingles, money, opportunities, car. You ever heard that child, that family member say, yeah, daddy bought you one. I work for mine. You ever heard that? Come on. Anybody ever heard that? Oh, this is going to be good. Welcome to Carpenter Shop International Church. We're glad you're here today. So have you caught yourself making, and here's the wicked part, here's the demonic part. Yeah, I said demonic, okay. I want to settle the deal here this morning. It's demonic. Have you ever caught yourself making a comparison between you and your brother, you and your sister, you and your neighbor, your car, their car, people that go to church with you? Well, I go to church with them. I don't understand what. Look, I'm driving up here, and, you know, I've got one of them cars that you drive up to the pump, and you say, fill her up with oil and check the gas. I mean, they got more smoke than the haze machine's producing up here. Fill her up with oil and check the gas. And they say, I'm going to the same church, and they're driving up there, parking in the spot, backing in. They don't drive in. You know how a person backs in when they're proud of their car. Come on, somebody. They drive. They don't drive in. They back in. Amen. I just put some people under conviction. Your car is either black or burgundy, I promise you. Woo! See, I know the deal. Got an emblem on the front. Pastor Joyce helped me here. She's giving me props on the front row. She's got a big emblem on the front. Escalade. Cadillac. We can stay in General Motors, but it's all out there. Duramax. Come on. Amen. You know, listen, some vehicles are nicer than others, but guess what? I promise you, you go to church with people who are way down here on the continuum and people that are way up here on the continuum, and there's a whole lot of levels in between. Amen? There's some people in this room that probably have 3, 4, 5 cars, and there's people in this room that caught a ride to church today. But guess what? We're a part of the same church, ecclesia, body of Christ, called out ones. And we come here together to worship him in spirit and in truth. And it really doesn't matter if you don't have a car or if you got 5 cars. It really doesn't matter. You're a child of the living God. And what you need to do is align yourself with the word of God and recognize after next week, you can have a car too, okay? The spirit of jealousy does this. There's a familiar story in the Bible involving jealousy, and it's in the book of Beginnings. That book is Genesis. It's a familiar story. It's a foundational story that reveals clearly the tension that can exist between two humans and what can happen. I said, what can happen when you fall into the trap or the spirit of jealousy and you shake hands with comparison? Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 to 8, I'm going to read in the message this morning because it sounds good. Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 to 8. Adam slept with Eve, his wife. She said, I got a man with God's help. She was so happy. She walked down to Jerusalem drugstore and bought her a pregnancy test. Come on, somebody. Had a reveal party. It's a boy! We didn't have reveal parties. Amen? We didn't even have pregnancy tests. We just knew that the period did not come. Come on. Come on. It did not come this month or next month. Hello? So y'all got all these advantages. And not only that, you get a 3D picture and you look at that little human being and say, oh, ain't she beautiful? Not right now. Okay? Not right now, but y'all got all these advantages we didn't have. We didn't have that. But she says, oh my goodness, with God's help, I've got a man. And then she had another baby, Abel. Abel was a herdsman and Cain a farmer. Time passed, the Bible says, and Cain brought an offering. Notice the wordage here. Notice the verbiage here. Time passed. Cain brought an offering to God from the produce of his farm. It just says from the produce of his farm. Verse 4 says, Abel also, somebody say also, Abel also brought an offering, but, somebody say but from the firstborn animals of his herd. Comma, I love the work of the Holy Spirit here. He says, let me give you a little parenthetical statement here. Comma, choice cuts of meat. Amen? The what? The best, come on. He didn't look across the herd and say, where's the runt? Okay. He didn't look out there and say, let me give away the one that not going to make it anyway. No. He said, let me give the first and the best. Okay? And the Bible says, how did God feel about that? The same way he feels about you when you write your tithe check. But you got to get to Dominion tomorrow because you got a cutoff notice. God will honor you if you put him before Dominion. I got one clap on that. Up to about 10, that's improvement. It says God liked Abel and his offering. He loved the heart is what he liked. He wasn't worried about exactly what it was. He liked what he did. But Cain and his offering didn't get his approval. Cain lost his temper and went into a sulk. Come on. I said, look, you better straighten that lip up, your lip hanging down low enough to walk the town on. Straighten your mouth out, boy. You ever had your kids to sulk? The Bible here says he goes into a sulk. And God speaks to Cain and says, why this tantrum? Why the sulking? If you do well, somebody say, if you do well, he put the emphasis on him. If you do well, won't you be accepted? But if you don't do well, sin is lying in wait for you, ready to pounce. It's out to get you. You have to master it. Cain had words with his brother. This is probably profanity. He probably created the first cuss words. Amen? Four letters. Amen? They were out in the field. Cain came at Abel, his brother, and did what? Killed him. First question's answered. What is jealousy? That's an example. All the way from you comparing your car to the one that's parked in backwards, probably black, big emblem at the church. You looking at one of those and saying, somebody told me they had two of them, okay? And you're comparing. You didn't mean any harm by it, but here's something that you need to understand as truth. Even by the fact that you noticed it, thought about it, and spoke it is an indication that demon is lurking over your life. Amen. That was weak, guys. I said, even the fact that you noticed it, drew attention to it, thought about it, what happens is that demonic influence is lurking over your life, trying to get you to compare. Yes. Trying to get you to put yourself in a comparative state with him or them or that family. That's what's happening. So you're thinking about it. So where does jealousy come from? Well, James tells us where it comes from. James revealed, I love the sarcasm of the Holy Spirit sometimes. He just gets sarcastic. In the Bible sometimes. We'll see an example of that in a minute. Where does it come from? James tells us. James reveals that there are two kinds of wisdom. And by the way, what is wisdom? Somebody help me. Come on, preachers. Application of knowledge. Thank you. The wisdom is the application of knowledge. Knowledge applied is wisdom. If you know that this is what is supposed to be done and you apply it, then they will say of you what? He's a wise man. Okay? Wisdom, short session here on wisdom. Wisdom is the application of the knowledge. If I know the Word of God says it, then I apply it. That's a wise person. So here, the Bible teaches us that there are two kinds of wisdom. James chapter 3, verses 13 to 17. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from what? Wisdom or knowledge applied. But if you harbor, check this out, verse 14. But if you harbor bitter envy, wisdom tells us this. If you harbor bitter envy, this is jealousy and self-ambition in your heart, comma, do not boast about it, and please don't deny it. Has your spouse ever said to you, or someone on your job ever said to you, why don't you just admit it? Come on, why don't you just say it? That's the way you feel. Have you ever argued with your spouse like that? Why don't you just say it? If you feel it, say it. Then they say it, and then you're mad at them for saying it. No, I want you to say it. Then they say it, and you're double mad. What did you want to start with? He says, but if you harbor bitter envy and self-ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it, and do not, please, deny the truth. Such wisdom, here's the sarcasm. The Lord says, wisdom, such wisdom, quote unquote, does not come from heaven, but is earthly. It doesn't come from heaven, but it's earthly. Unspiritual. Somebody help me here with this next word. Demonic. For where you have envy and self-ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. Please help me here, Pastor David. Who's James speaking to? He's speaking to the church. I already said it very sarcastically one time in this series. Well, I always heard Christians couldn't have demons influencing them like that. I know what you... Listen, if you think that once you came up and you shook the preacher's hand, put your name on the church roll, said the sinner's prayer, where did that come from? I don't know. You might have said the sinner's prayer and never repented. Okay? But if you said the sinner's prayer and you did all that, then you just walk away from the church and you don't stay engaged, you don't learn the Word of God, you don't become discipled, then help me. That's not the way it's supposed to be. No, you come to Christ, you submit yourself to the authority of His Word, you learn the book, you study the Bible, you learn the principles of God's Word, you apply them to your life. That's wisdom. That's wisdom. He says, but the wisdom from heaven is first of all pure and peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy, and produces what? Fruit. Impartial and sincere. Man, that's a Holy Ghost-led life. That's a Holy Ghost-led life that is guided by the Paraclete, the Spirit of God, the one called alongside you to lead you and guide you in this walk. And you're led by the Word of God, and you exercise wisdom. Verse 15 says where it comes from. Jealousy comes from demonic influence. It's a spirit that convinces you, just like Cain was convinced to do what? To compare yourself. I'm reading my note. You can read it with me. I'm comparing myself to someone else and to be affected by that comparison. Second question. What was jealousy? Where does it come from? Simple preaching. What is jealousy? Where does it come from? Third question. What's the answer for jealousy? What is the answer for jealousy? Well, I would submit to you that based on the authority of God's Word, contentment is the answer for jealousy. Somebody say contentment. Because, you know, if you don't get control of this, if you don't get control of jealousy, jealousy has put people on drugs. Jealousy has destroyed relationships and resulted in divorces. Jealousy has put people in horrendous debt. Trying to keep up with the Joneses because you're jealous of the Joneses. And you know what? All of us face this tendency. Several years ago, I was just married. I was young. And you know, I wanted to be successful. I really did. I wanted to be successful in my calling. I wanted to be successful in my way of living. Now, despite the fact that I lived in a mobile home that I paid $4,000 for, that I borrowed the money for, 1972, 14 by 70, with a leak in the kitchen, the 55-gallon trash can was very helpful. Now, let me tell you where I lived. In the woods, 14 by 70, you get in the picture, no underpinning, 14 by 70, 1972 model, $4,000 cash home. Cash for me, borrowed by my dad's signature. Are you with me? Going to work from that environment, from that context, I'm driving down the road to Edenton to work in a men's clothing store, and I wanted to look nice, but I'm working on Broad Street in Edenton, and I'm working beside lawyers, and I'm working beside doctors, and I start to see these shoes that they're wearing, and they're wearing Bass Penny Loaf Weegians that you put a little shot copper penny in there that shines. They're Weegians. And they're not rubber soles. God forbid you have rubber soles on your shoes. They're genuine leather Bass Weegians. So what did I have to get me? A pair of Bass Weegians. And I noticed that I was meeting with one of them, you know, in the morning for coffee. And I'm hanging out with the Joneses, bro. I'm living in the woods over there. They ain't seen my $4,000 Cracker Box house. But I got my Weegians on. Now I'm starting to want to dress like them. So I start wanting to buy shirts like theirs. And I find out what they wear. And you know what they wear? They wear them 100% Pima cotton shirts that you get done at the laundromat. So despite the fact that I lived in a $4,000 borrowed money 1972 70-foot trailer in the woods that leaks, I buy me some of them shirts and start getting the laundromat to do my shirts. And God used my helpmate to call this into question. I remember one day when she said, I know, Pastor David, I know. One day she said, honey, why do you feel like you have to be like, and I'm not going to call his name, but she knows his name and I know his name. Why do you feel you have to dress like and be like? And she called his name. And you know what I said? Here's what I said. I don't! And she said, well, look at your feet. I like Bass Weegians. Leather soled. And how about those shirts? We're not on that kind of budget, honey. I got a washing machine and I got a clothesline dryer in the backyard. We're not living like, and she called his name again. I said, you know what? I said, you're absolutely right, honey. And I fell down on my knees and squalled like a baby, repented, and everything was fine. That's not what happened. Okay. Oh, thank you, Joy. I know God sent you to me to help make me the man he's called me to be. Thank you, Joy. No, that booger resulted in some arguments. And because men are filled with pride, I wanted to win that argument. And so I kept on and on and on doing the things that I was doing until it fell into what? Problems with finances. The reason that I share my transparent story with you folks is because, well, you won't say, yeah, look at him, man. Look at how he dresses. Look at him. Look at where he lives. Look, have you seen, you know, where he lives? Because, see, you start comparing yourself against someone else. I did that. And can I just tell you something? It's destructive. And it is demonic. And the devil will use scenarios like that to get in your household, to get in your life. So listen, I know what I'm talking about. I've got experience with this. You have to understand what the answer for jealousy is. So it's found in Philippians chapter 4, verses 12 to 13. Paul here says this. He says, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty, more than enough. I have learned the secret. Somebody say secret. Of being content in any and every situation, comma, whether well-fed or hungry. Whether living in plenty or in want. And you know, Paul bothers to go ahead and tell us how he's able to accomplish this scenario that he might have been placed in either one of those times in his life. He says, man, I can do all this because of the strength of Christ. Okay? It's a discipline. It's an understanding, and it is, in fact, somebody help me here, wisdom. The wisdom to know that, listen, you living in the woods in a Cracker Box trailer you paid $4,000 for, got your daddy to help you sign for it. It leaks like a boat's been shot with a rifle when it rains. You live in the woods. You don't have anything there yet. It's not even really been established. You crossing a ditch to get to the road to get to your car. You're not on a Ouijan, Pima cotton, laundromat, laundry service budget. And that is where wisdom comes from. You have to use the wisdom of God to help you to say, you know what, I don't need to do this. This is not where I am, you know. And that's why God helps people to make decisions that are helpful to them. Make decisions that will, you know, meet you somewhere halfway. If you want to buy something, listen, you don't always just say, hey, y'all got a Belk credit card? You don't live on a Belk credit card lifestyle, so why are you trying to get one? So, you have to understand, maybe you can find one in the thrift store. Maybe you can find one that's slightly used or second-handed. Maybe you can find one used. I know you didn't want me to use that word. Maybe you can find one used. My kids tickle me because we have trained them very well on how to buy clothing. They buy clothing the way we buy clothing. It's usually on a round rack. The rack is usually getting pretty shabby now because it's ain't got much on it. Because the other birds that shop like we do have already attacked that booger. There's a sign up on it that says, take an additional 50% off the already reduced prices. That's what we look for. You say, Pastor, you got on a pair of Cole Haan shoes. I do. Never had a pair of Cole Haan shoes, but I got on a pair of Cole Haan shoes because it had one of them stickers on it. And when I look to see what kind of reduction comes with the sticker, purple. Yes, that's my number, purple. That's my color. There's red, green, yellow, blue, purple. Purple had that 70% off the price. So I'm wearing a pair of Cole Haans, okay, that I got about $20 in. Cole Haans aren't $20, honey. I got another pair of shoes that I didn't even know they were anything. I didn't know they were all that in a bag of chips. I didn't. I had a nice pair of shoes on, got them another occasion with one of them sticker deals. And one of these young preachers in the Assemblies of God said to me one day, hey, bud, nice pups there. I said, what? He said, nice pups. What are you talking about? Your shoes. I said, yeah. He said, they are, and he called the name. I said, and I faked it. I said, yeah. That was in the last year, okay? I said, yeah. Then I thought, man, you just be real. I said, hey, dude, you ever shopped at DSW? He said, no, I haven't. I said, when you walk in the door, go all the way to the back. Okay? Go all the way to the back. Look for them colored labels. Okay? I said, they ain't got nothing in them rows that interests me. I'm going to the Sarek. Okay. What is that?
Wisdom.
Okay. Now, if you can do differently, then, hey, just order it, have it sent to you, whatever. That's your lifestyle. That's fine. But if you can't do that, don't be doing that. Because it will get you in trouble. Because you are jealous of what other people have and you're trying to keep up with other people. And it'll get you in trouble. Is this working for anybody? Is this helping you? So what I've discovered is that I can cast down the spirit of jealousy by the strength that comes from the Holy Spirit that leads me to the discipline of contentment. I look through my house at my furnishings. And I've got what's called, they got a nice, almost tongue-talking word applied to it that makes you feel special. We call it eclectic. Oh, we have an eclectic home. That's a fancy word for saying you got everybody else's mess that they didn't want no more, and you polished it up, cleaned it up, put a little vintage treatment on it. Now it's yours, all right? That's what we did, all right? That's what we've done. That's what we continue to do. Amen? Shabby chic. Go on, Joyce. You are speaking in tongues. Shabby chic. But you do what you have to do. Now, if that's not where you're living, that's okay. But if you're living at this place, then behave at this place. If this is the level you're on, live on that level. And don't let the demonic spirit of jealousy cause to you to be plunged into what Paul said will be ruin and destruction because you're trying to keep up with somebody else. Jesus said to a man, listen, a man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. And you know the story. The man drops his head and walks away. You have to learn to be content, okay? Jealousy's put a lot of people in debt. Jealousy has destroyed relationships and marriages. Jealousy has cost people their jobs. Jealousy has cost people their spot, their place in ministry. It's even in the ministry, friends. Jealousy exists in the ministry. Paul says, I know the secret. He says, I've learned the secret. And it comes from the Spirit of God helping me, he said, to live in a spirit of contentment. I looked up the word. I like to do word studies now and then. The word content is an interesting word. It's only found one time in the Bible, right here. That's it. Paul said, I've learned wherewith to be what? Content. It's nowhere else from Genesis to Revelation. I've learned to be content. So what does it mean? It means sufficient for oneself. It means strong enough or processing enough to need no support and no aid. You don't need anybody to come to your deliverance. You don't need anybody to lend you the money. You don't need anybody to help you here. You don't need anybody else to help you. You're content where you are. You don't need anybody to get you out of it. Now, all of us have been in those places where we needed somebody to help us get out of it. Why? Because we put ourselves in it. I've been there. Where I needed somebody to help me here. Just for a brief time. Just help me. I'm going to be all right, but help me here. Content is to be independent of any external circumstances. Content is to be contented with one's lot, with one's means, though it might be the slenderest. That's contentment. And you know what contentment does? Contentment cancels the spirit of jealousy. Contentment kills the spirit of jealousy. Jealousy, if not dealt with, will do what? It will overtake you. It's demonic. It's recorded there in James 3:15. Such wisdom, by the way, he says, doesn't come from heaven, but it's earthly. And if you got this issue of jealousy going on, you know what you need to do? You need to confess your faults. You need to. Today's a good day to do that. James 5:16, confess your faults one to another that you may be healed. He's not talking about you getting healed of cancer here. You know what he's talking about getting healed of? Of the fault. Confess your faults one to another that you may be healed of your faults. It's directly tied to the very thing that it's speaking of in the context. Confess your faults one to another, that you might be healed of your own faults. Maybe that if you were just to say, you know, Pastor, you're right, man. You read my email. I too, like you, I use my own self as an example. I too, like you, have played that game. And today's it, man. I cast that spirit down. I want to be delivered from that in the name of Jesus. I want to be a person who finds the wisdom of God that is pure and faultless, and that I stand before the Lord with a spirit of contentment. I'm not controlled by what happens with the other people around me. Okay? Because if you don't deal with this issue of jealousy, it can grow. It can be nurtured. Thank God for a helpmate who said to me one day, why are you dressing like so-and-so? I'm not going to slip and call his name. What are you looking at? Why are you dressing like? And I lied to her. What did I do? I rejected the counsel that God gave me through my helpmate. I don't dress like him. Spin around, look in the mirror, honey. Okay? And the reality of it was, when I began to take that self-inventory, I realized that she was right. And I realized that there was a spirit of jealousy that had come upon me. And I was living out there in the country, in the woods, with a Broad Street Edenton mentality. Trying to keep up with the attorneys at law and the doctors and all this stuff. And I wasn't there. That's not where I was. See? And the world, listen, isn't the world mean? The world sets you up with this. They got all these high dollar items, all these high dollar shoes, and then they create knockoffs and they throw them in stores like Pick and Pay and Shoe Show. Go ahead and laugh, because it's the truth. Because see, they set you up, and what they want to do is they want you to feed this spirit. They want you to feed the spirit. And you have to see another thing my helpmate said. Listen, I ain't studying the names. I ain't studying the shoes. I don't have to have all these shoes. She said, I would rather have one very good pair, and that's all the shoes I got. I don't want a bunch of cheap shoes. I don't want a bunch of throwaway stuff. See? Y'all getting anything from this? Besides conviction? You listen, wisdom. You use the wisdom that God gives you, okay? And guess what happens when you start to master it on this level? You know what God will enable you to do? He'll enable you to grow and develop and expand and mature, and he'll step you up, 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 up. We're going to talk about that next week in the spirit of poverty. If you ever get out of it, guess what God does? You know, when I graduated from Bible college, I went and bought two little T-shirts. They were white shirts, and our school colors were red, so I had them printed. And we sacrificed, man. I lived in an apartment that was 600 square feet for 4 years. We sacrificed. My apartment was $160 a month. And my wife worked a full-time job to put me through Bible college. She worked full-time. The kids were in daycare, and it was through the church, so we had, you know, we had some perks there, some helps. And I was so proud of myself when I finally graduated from college that I went and got two little shirts printed. Joshua was 5 years old, Abigail was 2 years old, and I got those shirts printed. My dad graduated from SEC, and I helped. It was printed. I got a picture of it. I look at it once in a while. My dad graduated from SEC, and I helped. What do you mean you helped? Those kids sacrificed. I remember sitting in the kitchen with that little table that we sat at, and I remember hearing my oldest son now, who's 35, I remember sitting there eating dinner, and I said, what's wrong? And he would cry, and he said, I don't want beans. And I said, what? You know, I got this big daddy voice. What? I don't want beans. I said, why not? We had them yesterday. So we had them yesterday. They're leftovers. We had them the day before. And he was right. We had beans, beans, beans. And our favorite dessert was popcorn. Because we could afford beans and popcorn. We lived on a rice, beans, and popcorn kind of lifestyle. And I'm bridging over to the spirit of poverty, but I went down to Polk County Social Services and I sat down on a bench outside that facility and I filled out an application for food stamps. And when I filled it out, I stood up and I got ready to walk to the counter to give it to the lady. And I turned around. She said, sir, did you need something else? I said, no, that's all right. I'm good. The Spirit of the Lord spoke to me and said, don't you do that. But God, don't do that. Wallace Phillips, you can do better than that. We'll get on that in the spirit of poverty. But it hinges right on into this because I had to use the wisdom that God had given me. Wallace, you can do better than this. And I did better than that. And I moved my family from rice and beans and popcorn to now we graduated up to we're eating out every Sunday of our lives. We ate out. Clap your hands. Now I'll tell you what eating out was. We went to McDonald's down the street on Sunday because they had 29-cent hamburgers. And we got four of them. One order of fries, four cups of ice, and a knockoff brand of 2-liter drink from the grocery store. I went through Bible college like that, beloved. Sunday afternoon, we drove to Tampa Bay, parked on the side of the road, and swam in the ocean. Amen. We did it every Sunday. And I raised my family like this, and I did it because I feel like, God, you want me to go to Bible college. And I went, and I did it, and I did the very best I could do where I was in the context of living that God had placed me in. And that's the wisdom of God. And yes, I had the opportunity to entertain the spirit of jealousy. And to, listen, one of my friends told me, he said, Wallace, you can get it. We get food stamps. You can go down there, man. You can get it. You can get all kinds of help. And I remember saying to him, I said, are you serious? He said, yeah. He said, go down there, man. We get this. Then I began to look at the way they lived versus the way we live. And they were still working and making money, cash under the table, and living a little better lifestyle and also getting the free. Can I just say this? Today I'm in the ministry, and he's not. He's not. He never made it in the ministry. He graduated, he tried. Today, he's not in the ministry. I'm not saying that to pat myself on the back. I'm saying that to say this. If you trust God, if you use the wisdom that God has given you, he will take you step by step by step by step, and he will elevate you and move you into positions and places with things that you do not deserve. But you trusted God. Listen, if you're not careful, jealousy can be nurtured. Jealousy can escalate. Jealousy can move into a powerful force that would cause a man to raise up something and strike his brother and kill him. That's what happened in the book of Beginnings. Confess your faults, James 5:16, one to another, that you may be healed. Richard's going to begin to play a song here. If our prayer team ministers would help me here, please. Richard's going to begin to play a song. A Somebody say, today is the day of deliverance. If you have ever compared, if you have been faced with that temptation of, you know, why is it like that for him and why is it like that for her, and I don't understand that. If a spirit of jealousy has knocked on your door and you've given thought to that, I want you to boldly stand. Boldly stand. Today is a day of freedom. Listen, if God can clean this up, if God can just work through this church and purify and make this church a holy church. I'm not talking about makeup and dresses. I'm talking about holiness from the inside, where your motives are pure, your thought life is pure. The way you act, live, behave in this society is pure. If you struggle with jealousy, if jealousy has tried to ring your doorbell, I want you to stand up right now. Come on, stand up. Stand up and come on, come on. Move out, move out, move out, move out. Don't play with this. Move out. Move out. Move out in the power of the Spirit. Come on, just come quickly. Jealousy. Because I guarantee you, if we nip this in the bud, this church will feel the difference. If we nip this in the bud, this community will feel the difference. I'm committed, friends. I'm going to stay right here in northeastern North Carolina. And until I've got no breath in my body, I'm going to preach there's a better way, northeastern North Carolina. There's a spirit of poverty that needs to be broken over this region. And a spirit of jealousy. God's going to help you today. You're going to cast it down. In Jesus' name, He's going to help you. He's going to help you. I've been changed.